Tonight we are going to talk about, if I can get my clicker out, resting with the Creator. And so, like I said, first of all, I just want to welcome each and every one of you. I'm very happy that you're with us. If this is your first night or if you have missed some nights, there is no need to worry. We have DVDs in the lobby, and all the sermons are available for download at consuminglove.org. And so last night, we reviewed, just a minute ago, that we talked about the law. And we talked about how the law is a law of love, correct? Amen. All right, we went to John 15:9. And if you want to turn with me there really quick, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's the last gospel, and in verse 9, Jesus told his disciples, and he told all of us, as the Father has loved me, he said, the Father loves me with this crazy, hard-to-understand, absolute, intense, passionate, all-consuming love. The love that you might love your own children, but this is God we're talking about, and we realize that God is love. Times by eternity, Jesus was with the Father at the beginning. He's saying, the Father loves me a whole lot, and as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. With that same kind of crazy, passionate, intense love. And then he told us one phrase. Does anyone remember what that was? Remain in my love. Jesus just went out and he said, I love you with this crazy, impossible to understand love, and I want you to remain in it. We learned last night that the law is what? Love. The law is a reflection of God's character. And 1 John 4:16 tells us that God is love. And so we learned last night that the law is love. It's not burdensome. It's not to hold us back. But it is so that our joy may be, what? Full. So that our joy may be complete, maxed out. Jesus says in John 15 that if we remain in his love, if we obey his commands, that his joy can be in us. And we discussed that his joy, the joy of heaven, the joy of being with God for eternity, can be inside of you. And we talked about how exciting that is, that the joy of Jesus Christ can be within you. That we don't need all our prescriptions for depression and we don't need to go on living in sadness because the joy of Jesus Christ can be within us. It can be within you right now. It can be within you tonight before you leave this place. And then we talked about how that joy, the joy of Jesus Christ, is just going to make our joy complete. And tonight, we're going to jump back into the law for a little bit. Last night, we discussed the Ten Commandments, right? And we kind of talked about what the law is. Like I said, if you missed last night, please feel free to download it. Feel free to get a DVD in the lobby. We had a great night, and we learned a lot. So anyways, we have these Ten Commandments, but there's one commandment that I want to focus on tonight, one commandment that I believe a lot of Christians have forgotten about. And I believe that this commandment is part of peeling back the picture peeling back our view of God so that we can get that clear, colorful, vibrant picture so that we can see God in all his majestic glory. I shared that with you the first night, that I believe that a lot of Christians have a false idea of the picture of God and how this journey is all about taking off our understanding, looking at the big picture, putting back in his intensity and his color. And so tonight, I want to focus on this one commandment. Which one do you think it is? The one that most people don't really get. The one that most people have forgotten about. Which commandment? Number four. You got me. Number four says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You see, I go to school, and I'm going to tell you a story, but will you pray with me first? Thank you. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. I come to you today. I'm not worthy to confess a word about you, but you are worthy to be preached about, Lord, and I thank you for that, and I thank you that you've brought everybody here tonight. I thank you for your word. I thank you that you teach us. I thank you that you love us. Inspire us tonight and help us to leave this place changed because we have learned more about Jesus. In his name, in the name of the real speaker tonight, in the name of Jesus, amen. So like I said, we're going to focus on the fourth commandment tonight. And I told you, I go to school. I'm a college student. I go to a school in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I love school. I love learning about what I learn about. I'm preparing for the ministry. I take classes on the life of Jesus. It is a lot of work, but I love what I do. And so I study a lot. I do a lot of homework. I write a lot of papers. And the semester just gets more hectic and hectic as it carries on. Many of you have gone to school. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I work at the same time. And it's all about, it just piles on you one after another after another. I always take a full load because that's just how I operate. And so I take this full load. I work at the same time. And I get all this pressure piled on top of me. But then comes the end of the semester. And for those of you who have gone to school, you got a smile on your face because you know exactly what I'm talking about. The end of the semester. And if you go to school out of state like I do, I go to school all the way across the country. I don't get to see my family much. And it's the end of the semester, whether it be Christmas time or summertime, I get to go home. And it is amazing. Even though it takes a really long time, it takes hours upon hours to travel, I get home, I see my parents in the airport, my brothers are there, and everyone's got a smile on their face, and we know that we've got these couple weeks or couple months to just be with each other, remain in each other's love, and just have a good time. And tonight, I do want to talk about resting with the Creator. You might not know what that means, but that's what we're here for tonight. We're here to learn. Again, I want to reinforce this before we move on. The law is what? Love. The law is a law of love. It is not meant to keep us, to hold us back from anything. It is meant to bring joy to our hearts. God is worthy for us to keep his commandments. And at the same time, when we keep his commandments, we're filled with joy. Win-win situation. That's the kind of God we worship tonight. Anyways, we're talking about the Sabbath. And many people have looked at the Sabbath as just another old Jewish custom. You know, it's just another tradition that they used to keep back then, but we're not under that bondage anymore. We do what we want. But again, we learned last night that God's law is anything but bondage. And so I want to talk about this Sabbath day. Where did it come from? What is it doing here? What does it mean for us today? Will you go with me to creation? Genesis chapter 2. I forget what night that was, but we went to creation, let's see, the third night, I believe, and we discussed that God made this world how? Good, 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 and very good, right? He made it absolutely perfect. And then we discussed what went wrong. I guess that would be the second night. Anyways, go to chapter 2, verse 1. God has just gotten done with the 6 days of creation. He's just got it all done. Verse 31, you see, verse 31 of chapter 1 says, "Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very what? Good." So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And then we come to chapter 2, verse 1. "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them..." I have this on the screen. Let me put it up there. "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he did what? He rested on which day? The seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then what did he do? He blessed it. Which day? The seventh day. And then he did one last thing, and that was he sanctified it. Because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So we notice that God does three things. He rested, he blessed, and he sanctified. Now, I want to touch on a quick point. Was God really tired after creating a world in 6 days? Did he just need a break? Did he just need to sit back? Man, that was a lot of work, you know, take a time out. Was that why he rested?
No.
All right, so why did this God of the universe take a break? That's what we kind of wanted to explore tonight. And then I want you to notice he blessed which day? Did he bless all the days? No, he blessed the seventh day, and then he sanctified it. You know what sanctified means? It basically means that he set it apart for a holy purpose. And so God takes this day, this seventh day, and he blesses it. Now I want you to notice something with me. Every day, God created a delicious loaf of bread. Right? You can eat a piece of bread. I love bread. You can eat the bread and you can be satisfied, right? You eat it any day of the week, you're going to be satisfied. You're going to be filled, you're going to be satisfied. But on the seventh day, God made cake. And you see, I put this up here because I really love cake. It's one of my favorite things. I love bread, but you give me a slice of cake and I'm all over that. And so, to me, this is how it works in my mind. God created it, you know, 6 days, he did all his work, he had it all done, he created bread, we can get satisfied any day, but on the seventh day, he blessed it. He put something in there that he didn't put in any other day. He made cake. Delicious, succulent cake. And he made it for you and me. I know that might seem crazy today, but God loves you so much that he rested. He took 24 hours just to be with you. You see, Adam and Eve's first day was the seventh day. It was what we're going to call a Sabbath. And God created all his creatures. He created all the plants, all everything. And then finally, he said, "Time out. I'm going to go down to the Garden of Eden. I'm just going to sit with my creation. I'm just going to let them enjoy me, and I'm going to enjoy them." You see, God loves you so much that he made a whole day for you. I think that's pretty cool tonight. How about you? And so, now that we have seen that Sabbath was instituted at creation, were there any Jews at creation? No. Everyone that was made, Adam and Eve, they knew God because he walked in their midst until they sinned against him. Now, was the seventh day, was the Sabbath blessed and sanctified before or after sin? Before, right? The fall doesn't happen until chapter 3. We're only in chapter 2. But we see how this goes. And we see that God created the world. Adam and Eve had their first day. It was a beautiful Sabbath. God spent it with them. And then afterwards, Eve was deceived and everything changed. And so I want to go back to the fourth commandment. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 20 in your Bibles, page 70. This, we're going back to the Ten Commandments, and earlier I just had the first verse of each one up there, but now I want to actually get into detail. Exodus chapter 20, we see the big Ten Commandments. Many people say that the Sabbath was just Jewish tradition, but it's one of the Ten Commandments, and I think that's pretty important. Excuse me. And so we have this up on the screen. It says, "Remember which day? The Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do how much work? No work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But what did he do the seventh day? He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it." Hallowed it's kind of a funny word. My pastor preached a sermon on hallowed it a long time ago, and he basically put it, he holified it. God just made that day holy. He hallowed it. He put something in that day that wasn't in the other days. He frosted it, he made the cake, and he gave it to us. Notice something with me. What does God say we're to do with 6 days?
Labor.
Labor, right? Does God believe in laziness? There's way too much to do to be lazy. There's way too much to do to be lazy. And so God says, 6 days you have. Work. Do your part. Be responsible. But the seventh day, you and me, that's our time. Amen. That's our date. That is when we are going to spend some time together. You see, God gave the Sabbath to the Israelites when they were coming out of Egypt. He gave it in creation, don't get me wrong, but over time it was forgotten. And then the Israelites were in bondage in Egypt, and then Moses came along, the great Exodus, all these miraculous signs happening around them, and then he didn't want them to forget who he was and what he had done. And so he re-gives them the Sabbath, and he actually does it in chapter 16, which we're going to get to in just a minute. But you see, the Ten Commandments is the only piece of writing that we ever see in Scripture. And it's very special. If you're in Exodus chapter 20, flip over a few pages to chapter 31, verse 18. What is special about the Ten Commandments? Verse 18 says, "And when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony of the Ten Commandments, tablets of stone, written with what? With the finger of God." Notice God has messengers, he has prophets, and that is how we have this book in front of us today. But these commandments were written with the very finger of God. Do you think they hold any significance? Written with the very finger of God. The Sabbath is a sign of his love. And we are going to discuss that more tonight. But I want you to get that thought wrestling in your brain. The Sabbath is a sign of his love. No working, just spending time with him. No causing others to work, just spending time with him. You see, I'm going to suggest tonight that the Sabbath is a celebration of the Lord's creative power. Do you agree with me tonight? God is creating, all right? He's got 6 days and he creates this beautiful, beautiful world. It's perfect. It's good, 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 and very good. And then on the seventh day, he decides to rest. And he just to spend it with his creation. And in it, we get to sit back and look at how beautiful God is. We get to look back and just marvel in his creative power. Amen. You see, the Bible tells us in Genesis when he's creating man, that man was created in the image of who? God. In the image of God. Not in the image of squirrels, not in the image of pigs, but in the very image of God himself. Do you think that carries any significance? Do you think that's special at all? You, my friends, are created in the very image of God. And my dad discussed this with me as I was growing up always, that the meaning of us being created in the image of God, one of God's number one characteristics is that he's what? He's creative, right? God is very, very creative. He created this beautiful world. You can look just to your side, just at this little garden we have here. You can go on a hike throughout the desert, see the saguaro cactuses. You can look at the sunset. You can go in nature. You can see the woods. You can see the leaves falling. Evidence of God's creative power is all around us. And then what does he do? He makes us He makes us in his image so that we have this creative power. Do you understand? Amen. So that we can build crazy buildings like this. So that we can construct pews. So that we can build stages and somehow eventually get to technology where we have projectors and all this stuff. God created us in his image. God is creative, massively, massively creative. And my dad always taught me that I am created in the image of God. Therefore, I have this creative muscle. And I'd like to suggest that the Sabbath is a day where we can sit back, marvel in the creativity of God, and then use it to stretch our own creative muscle. Are you with me tonight? That we, too, have this power to create. Whether it just be, you know, sitting and thinking and just creating some sort of philosophy, some sort of ideology in your mind, some theory, that's creativity. But the Sabbath, I believe, is just a chance to stretch your creative muscle, to use it, and to marvel in God's creativity, because it surrounds us all the time. And God's creativity is beautiful. So I told you we'd go to Exodus 16. Go there with me now. Should just be a few pages away if you're with us. It's going to be page 67. Does anybody know what's in Exodus chapter 16? It's the story. I told you earlier that God rescued the Israelites, right? They were in Egypt, they were in slavery, and God sends Moses, and he does all these great things for them, and they end up out in the desert because of their own unfaithfulness. Not because God was unfaithful, but because they were unfaithful. They're out in the desert, and they start to whine and complain. They start to say, Moses, you sent us out here just to starve in the desert. At least in Egypt, we had good-sized portions. We were fed all the time, but now we're out here and we're starving. You can imagine the frustration of God. He parts the seas. He does everything. He has massive pillars of fires and clouds. And then here they are, having the nerve to complain. But are we much different today? It's something to think about. So chapter 16 of Exodus. They go outside and they see this white flaky stuff on the ground. And verse 15 says, so when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what'd they say? What is it? Manna. Literally translated, what is it? That's what they called it. They didn't know what to call it, so they just said, what is it? Hey, you want some what is it? It's kind of interesting. So then they go out. They said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. Obviously, this wasn't some common thing that they found all the time. This was a miracle from God. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. And then, verse 19, Moses said, let no one leave any of it till morning. Notwithstanding, guess what? They didn't listen to Moses. Just like they never listened to God. The Israelites obviously had some sort of problem with authority. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning. And what happened to it? It went rotten. It had worms in it and it stank. And Moses was angry. So they gathered it every morning, like Moses had commanded. Every man according to his need, no more, no less. And when the sun became hot, it melted. Interesting. We can move on. Verse 23. Moses gives another command. Not just, you see, this was a test to prove that the Israelites were faithful to God. He said, I'm going to give you manna. I'll provide it every day. And you have to know that I'm going to provide it every day. So don't store it up because there's no need. I'm going to provide it. But then in Exodus 16, Moses talks to God and he gets this other thing to tell the Israelites. Then when he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is what? A Sabbath rest. A holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today. And boil what you will boil. And lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. They weren't to keep it till morning any other day, were they? Because it what? It got spoiled. It stank. It was filled with worms. But now Moses says, this day, keep all that remains to be kept until morning. So they laid it up till morning, as Moses commanded. Did it stink? Did it have worms in it? No. Verse 24, so they laid it up till morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it. But on what day? The seventh day, the Sabbath. Which day is the Sabbath? Are you sure? All right. The Sabbath, there will be none. But guess what? The Israelites decided to try it. They decided to go out on the seventh day and look for some manna. Now it happened, verse 27, that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather. But what did they find? Nothing. They found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on the sixth day how much bread? Enough for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people, what'd they do? Rested. We're going back to creation. God rested on the seventh day. He's commanding us to rest on the seventh day. Notice earlier, verse 26 in Exodus 16, Moses told them, 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the what? The Sabbath, there will be none. Does that kind of sound like what's coming up in Exodus 20 in the Ten Commandments? 6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest. You see, it's kind of meeting up in the middle here. This is the bread from heaven. The Sabbath, Ezekiel 20, verse 12, is described as this. Moreover, God is talking here. I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Again, what did God do that first seventh day? He rested, he blessed, and he sanctified it. It's all coming together. Isaiah 66 kind of points and tells us that we're going to be keeping the Sabbath in heaven. It says, "For as the new heavens and the new earth which I make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord." When are they coming? What Sabbaths? After what? It says, verse 22, "For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me." Talking about heaven. "So they shall come and worship me every Sabbath." We talked about manna. I want you to go with me to John chapter 6 for just a second. We're on a journey through the life of Christ, right? We're on a journey of hope, a journey to get a better understanding of the character of God, and Jesus is, I think, the key to understanding God. So John chapter 6, verse 32, we talked about manna, we talked about God sending bread from heaven. Verse 30 of John chapter 6, the Israelites are talking to him, talking to Jesus, and they say, "Therefore they said to him, 'What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" And what does Jesus say in verse 32? "Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven.'" What is Jesus talking about here? The true bread from heaven. Himself. Jesus is the true bread of heaven. "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." You see, even the manna in the desert was pointing toward Jesus. It is all about Jesus. If there's one thing we've learned on this journey, we have learned that Jesus came down here and he paid the price for you and me. That Jesus gives us a law not to hold us back, but to complete our joy. Amen. Jesus has taken care of it. Jesus loves you. We have learned 1 John 4:16 that God is love. Another point I want to make, we talked about creation. Who's the creator? You remember when we went to John chapter 1 the first night? Through him, all things were made. And without him, nothing was made. Jesus is not only your Savior, he is also your Creator. He is the one with the creative muscle. He is the one with the creative power. It's quite amazing. So I want to take a second tonight and discuss what happened and why most Christians today worship on Sunday. Which day is the Sabbath? I'm sorry, remind me. The seventh day. All right, as long as you got that in your head. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. You can go there with me now if you want. It talks about a power, an ungodly power, that would speak pompous words against the Most High. And it says in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, "And he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and laws." Does the Sabbath have anything to do with time? I would say so. It's a day of the week. The seventh day of the week. Thank you. And so, we're looking at this Sabbath, and I want to take the time to answer, why do most Christians worship on Sunday, which I'm going to argue is the first day of the week? First of all, let's cover something. Are you saved by what day you worship on? No. Get that in your mind. Are you saved by what day you worship on? Are you saved by any sort of works? Were you with us the third night? What are we saved by? We are saved by grace through our own faith. We are saved by the blood, the sacrifice, the love of Jesus, but we are saved by the love of our God. You are not saved by any sort of works. You are not saved by what day you worship on. You are saved by Jesus. And I want you to note that tonight. I am not condemning anyone. I'm not throwing rocks because I'm not worthy to throw rocks. Do you remember what we talked about last night? Jesus, the only perfect one, the only one who was worthy to throw a stone at us, to condemn us, to judge us. He took up a cross. He got on it. And he just shouted, "I love you." The message of the cross is all about love. It's not about condemnation. And so I don't want you to think that I'm condemning. I don't want you to think I'm judging. But the fact is, if we look at our Bibles, there's not a text in the Bible that says to worship on the first day of the week. There's not a text that changes the Sabbath from what day? The seventh day to any other day, whether it be first, second, third, fourth. The Sabbath is the seventh day. Don't take what I say as truth. I am pointing you to one thing tonight, and that is the Word of God. What I say holds no truth. It holds no weight in the kingdom of God, but this book is what it's all about. Don't take what I say as truth. Look to the Word of God for truth. So what happened? Well, early Christians, they kept the Sabbath as a day of fasting and a day of prayer. But in honor of the resurrection, which happened on what day? Sunday, the first day of the week. We'll explore that in just a minute. But they started to take Sunday and make it a day of feasting, a day of celebration in honor of the resurrection. So they would pray and fast on Sabbath, the seventh day, and then they would feast and party on the first day. That sounds like a pretty good deal. But what do you think happened? Us as humans, do we prefer to feast or do we prefer to fast? I don't know about you, but I like to eat. I told you I like cake. I like to eat a lot. And over time, we just forgot about the fasting and we went with the feasting. It happened over a long period of time, and it was just a matter of people not testing all things to the Word of God. You have your handout tonight. Let's see where I put this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. It tells us to test all things and hold fast to that which is what? Good. You see, everything that comes from God is good, and he is telling us to test all things and hold fast to that which is good. You're not saved by what day you worship on, but the seventh day, what did God do? He rested, he blessed it, and he sanctified it. He made cake, And if you worship on another day, you're eating bread. Is bread bad? No, it's just not good as it's not as good as cake. It's pretty simple. God's not condemning anyone. He's just saying, I have put a special blessing in a special day, and I've done it because I love you, and I want you to worship on this special day. I want you to take part in my cake because I love you too much to watch you eat bread every day. God loves you so much that he created 24 hours with the sole purpose to be with you, so that you can be with him, so that you can take a second, take time out of your busy schedule, leave your cell phone at home, leave your BlackBerry, your planner at home, so that you can just take a second, just 24 hours out of your crazy busy week, and just marvel in his glory, in his splendor, and his creativity. So you might be thinking, what difference does it make as long as I keep one day holy? Well, like I said, there's cake in one day. Just one. God blessed a day. God sanctified a day. It's his day. It is the Lord's day. And I just threw out a few little illustrations. If I advertised this series for July 11th through 19, but I showed up to preach on August 11 to 19, you guys would be sitting here and no one would be up here. Nothing would be prepared. It does matter when you go. Does it matter what man or woman walks down the aisle on your wedding day? I hope so. You see, humans trying to overrule God is a scary thing. And that's what I want to tell you tonight. I just want you to be careful. I'm not condemning, I'm not judging, I'm not saying you're going to go to hell, I'm not saying you can't be saved unless you worship on this day. I'm just saying you're missing out on some really delicious cake. I told you I go to school and I work hard, and you know, high school, I thought it was hard, but it turned out that it wasn't very hard once I hit college. And I, you know, I kept the Sabbath in high school, and I appreciated it. But when I took those 6 days and I really started to labor, if I worked and I studied and I wrote my papers all 7 days of the week, I would just burn out. And the Sabbath is not about bondage. It is not about legalism. I go to Southern Adventist University in Collegedale, Tennessee, and Friday night, you see that sun start to go down, and people grab their guitars, they head for the lobby, and they just start singing. Amen. It's not about legalism. It's about freedom. It's about God gave us this entire day. We don't have to study. We don't have to do homework, because guess what? We're going to tell our professors we didn't have time. They'll say, of course, well, you had Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So it doesn't become an excuse, but we don't have to do it, because you see, God provides a double portion on Friday. It's beautiful. The sun goes down and we are all partying. We're excited for Vespers. We're excited for Sabbath morning. We're excited for our hike that we take after church. We're excited because we don't have to do homework. My friends and I, we just party. The Sabbath is not about bondage. It's not about legalism. It's about God loving you. I wouldn't have included it in this series if I didn't think it was important. But I believe this reveals something about God that a lot of people are missing. God didn't just create a couple hours for a church service so that you remember him. He created an entire day. And so we come to another question. How do we know the seventh day is still the same seventh day that the Israelites thought it was? Now, I could get into this and I could spend hours on it. There's been a ton of research done into this. And so I'm not going to bore you tonight. If you want to discuss it more later, I'll be more than happy to. But your handout says, you know, history confirms it, astronomy confirms it, the Bible confirms it, and language confirms it. So look at your handout with me. I just think this is pretty cool, so I want you to see it tonight. I included another page. And in it, it has a lot of the languages of the world. A lot of them. And it has their word for Saturday or the seventh day. You see, our Saturday, where do we get that from? Does anybody know? It actually means Saturn's day. It comes from pagan origin. Like Sunday is actually the worship of the sun. Saturday was the worship of Saturn. But I want you to notice all the other languages. We have a lot of people listening in Spanish tonight. Maybe not a lot, but we do have a few. We have a Spanish slideshow over here. And the Spanish word for Saturday is what? Sábado, right? And here we see in Greek, Latin, Spanish, Portuguese, Italian, French, German, Prussian, Russian, Polish, Hebrew, Afghan. We have all these languages here in your handout. And I won't take too much time on this, but they have words like sabaton, sabatum, sabado, sabado, sabato, samadhi. And their meaning? Sabbath, 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 Sabbath day. The Sabbath, day Sabbath, 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 Sabbath. So you see, most of the languages of the world, their word for the seventh day has something to do with Sabbath. Is that a coincidence? I don't know. But you notice, I want to take time for something right now, because the day is what? When the earth spins one full cycle, it's a day, right? We have the sun goes up, the sun goes down. So it makes sense to have a day. The month is from one new moon to the next new moon. That's our month. You get it? And so we have a month. There's scientific explanation for that. We have our year. There's scientific explanation for that. But what's the scientific explanation for the seven-day week? Do you really know there is not a scientific explanation for a seven-day week? But everyone in the world uses it? You see, it might sound crazy, but I'm going to say that the seven-day week is actually evidence that there's a God in heaven, that the Bible is real. And guess what? That seven-day week, God created the world in six. He rested on the seventh. He spent a day with you. The whole world uses a seven-day week. You agree with me? All right, we have no other explanation for a seven-day week than right here. It's pretty interesting, very interesting. History confirms it, astronomy confirms it, the Bible confirms it, language confirms it. The seventh day, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sabbath. The Hebrew word Shabbat literally means to cease or to stop. God knows that we have a real problem with working, especially in America. You know what I'm talking about. If you're not working at your job, you're volunteering for something, and if you're not volunteering for something, you're fixing something at home, you're doing the dishes, you're making dinner, you're always busy. Most of you. Most of you are always, always busy with something. But God says, you know what? I love you way too much to see you get caught up in this world. I want to remind you of something. And that is me. That is love. God is not somebody with a big ego. He's God. He's the God of the universe. He says to obey him. Why? So that you can remain in this amazing love that he has for you. Amen. He doesn't say, I want you to keep this day because I am God and you owe this to me. He says, I want you to keep this day because I love you and because I want you to get to know me. Amen. We discussed last night that the people in the Jewish church were always trying to get Jesus in trouble, right? Turn with me to Mark chapter 2. They were always on him for something. So Mark chapter 2, page 970. Say amen if you're there. Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on which day? The Sabbath. And as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. They were obviously hungry. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" Now, who made what was lawful on the Sabbath in this case? God? No, this is their own laws. They had kind of interpreted their own way. And so they say, "Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" But he said to them, Jesus says to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and he ate of the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him." We learned on the third night stuff about the sanctuary, stuff about the showbread, and Jesus is basically saying, "Hey, listen, you got it all wrong." And he shows evidence of what David did. David's somebody they hold way high up, and so he puts that in their face. They're not quite sure how to answer him, and he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for who?" Who? For man, for mankind, the Greek word is talking about here. It's not talking about the male gender. The Sabbath was made for man, for you, and for me. God, it's not a matter of God was wiped out after creating the earth and he just couldn't take it anymore, so he said, "I'm going to give myself a day off." No, 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 no. The Sabbath was made for you. Amen. And not man for the Sabbath. You see, the Sabbath is a gift. It is a gift for you for right now. It provides you with hope for right now. Amen. We discussed gifts of God. What was the gift of God that we discussed the third night? Jesus was the gift of God, but we discovered in Ephesians chapter 2, we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It is a gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life, we learned, and that eternal life comes through Jesus. Eternal life really provides us with a massive amount of hope for the future, right? Eternal life provides us with hope for the future. We get to live in a place where we discover there'll be no tears, no sorrow, no suffering, no death. We're going to live with God. And God is what? Love. We're going to live with love, and we're going to live with Him forever. Amen. And that is our hope for tomorrow. But God is not just about tomorrow. He's about today. And we discussed last night that the law provides us with hope for today, because today Jesus can enter your heart, and He brings the joys of heaven with Him. And that's going to max out your joy. And this is part of it. The fourth commandment, it's part of the law. But the law is not about being burdensome. The Sabbath was made just for you, for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man, Jesus is referring to Himself there, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. It's all about Him. The Sabbath is a day to spend with Him. I hope you're learning something tonight. We can go to the crucifixion, Luke chapter 23. Excuse me. Let's go there. We'll skip over Mark 3 for now. Luke chapter 23, verse 52. This is after the crucifixion of Jesus. Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins. We learned all about that the third night if you weren't here. Get it on DVD, download it, because it's important. Salvation comes through Jesus. This is after He was crucified. This man went to Pilate. Pilate was, we'll talk about that more on Sunday night. I don't want to get into it. But Pilate was basically the man who gave his death order, sort of. Come Sunday night and I'll explain myself, and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of rock, where no one had ever lain before. When it's talking about this man, it's talking about Joseph of Arimathea. You can read in the verse ahead. He was apparently just some rich guy that had a tomb and said, "I want Jesus in my tomb," in a tomb where no one had ever laid before. That day was what? The preparation. We haven't come to this word yet, but the preparation. What was drawing near? The Sabbath. So what day are we in at preparation? The sixth day. The sixth day. Sabbath, the seventh day, drew near. And the woman who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils. Did they then go back and anoint the body of Jesus? What does the Bible say? And they rested on the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Were Jesus' followers keeping the Sabbath? I would think. The Bible tells us so. And they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Jesus died on the sixth day, correct? He died on the preparation day. The Sabbath drew near. They're just now taking down his body. So Jesus died on what day? The sixth day. The sixth day. But when did he resurrect? The first day. Luke chapter 24, verse 1, I believe it's going to be. I don't have that on the screen, but it is something we have to look at. Verse 1 of chapter 24. Now on what day? Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and the certain other women, these are the same women that made up the spices, came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Jesus was not there, and I would love to get into that tonight, but you're going to have to wait till Sunday. We will be talking about the crucifixion and the resurrection, and that is a sermon that you cannot miss. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Jesus died on the sixth day of the week. Why didn't he raise the next day? It was the Sabbath. Jesus died on the sixth day. Then we have the Sabbath. Then he rose early on the first day. Why didn't Jesus raise early on the Sabbath? Jesus was obedient even in the tomb. Pretty interesting. God kept the Sabbath even when his son laid in the tomb. And the women that were to anoint him kept the Sabbath. Jesus kept the Sabbath. His followers kept the Sabbath. After he died, they kept the Sabbath. You have passages of that in your handout in Acts talking about how his followers kept the Sabbath long after he was dead. But then somehow, over a long period of time, we forgot about the fast and we went with the feast. We chose partying over the fasting and the praying. Now, I believe in feasting. I believe in partying. In a godly way. But I also believe in the fasting and the praying. You see, Jesus gave us a day. He rested, he blessed it, and he sanctified it. That seventh day. And now we find ourselves living in this day, which I'm going to say is the last days, and you're going to have to come on Friday for that. I'm sorry, I'm leaving you all these hooks. I guess you're just going to have to come every night. But Friday, we're going to be talking about where we are in the timeline of history. We're going to be looking a little bit at Bible prophecy and what is coming next. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you tonight that I believe we are in the last days. Revelation, a whole book about the last days, tells us in verse 6, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water.'" How are we to worship God in these last days? As what? Worship him who did what? Who made right? Worship him as a creator? Is that fair to say? That we are to worship God as a creator in these last days? I think maybe there's a little reminder in here saying, don't forget the one who made you. Don't forget the one who made a day to spend with you. Worship God as creator in the last days. I want to sum this up real quick. The Lord has a day. Do we got that tonight? Does everybody agree that the Lord has a day? Okay. What day is the Lord's day? The Sabbath is the Lord's day. What day is the Sabbath? The seventh day is the Sabbath. Like I said, I'm not condemning anybody. If you go to church on Sunday, that's fine. I'm just here to tell you that you're missing out on a blessing. I believe God did on the seventh day. He blessed, he rested, he sanctified it. That day. The Bible doesn't take time to say he did it any other day. You see, the Sabbath is not about bondage. It is not about legalism. Some people have argued that it is. And I'd like to argue that they've never experienced a real Sabbath. Because like I said, Southern Adventist University, where I go to school, the sun goes down and the people start to party. It's a matter of, I don't have to study. I don't have to write this paper. Yeah, I have a final on Monday, but guess what? Today is the Sabbath. Today is my date with my God. Because he loves me enough to create an entire day to spend with me. You will find a blessing in this seventh day. Psalm 34:8 puts it this way. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. I'm just going to say one thing tonight before we close. Taste it. Don't take what I say as truth. This is truth. Just go ahead and taste it. See if you find a special blessing. See if when you bite into it, see if you're tasting more cake or more bread. God blessed a special day, and he did it because he loves you. That's why I'm preaching about it tonight. Because I believe in a God who is love. That's what the Bible tells us. It's exciting. I am so privileged and happy to stand before you tonight and just share with you a little bit of the hope that I have. Amen. I'm not stuck in a rut of legalism. I'm just enjoying my Creator. One day a week, I get to rest with my Creator. So will you embrace the love and creative power of God? It may cost you your job. It will totally alter your life. Things will never be the same. But faithfulness to God pays off every time. Amen. So will you take the challenge? Will you taste and see that the Lord is good? Don't take what I'm telling you tonight. Taste it. Don't just test the Word of God. Taste the Word of God. One of my professors puts it that way every time. He had to explain it 5 different times in class. Don't just test the Word of God. Taste the Word of God. Don't just discuss the Word of God. Digest the Word of God. Don't just analyze the Word of God, but assimilate the Word of God into your life. Dr. Philip Simon, great teacher at Southern Adventist University, told us that. A lot. Don't just test the Word of God, but taste it. Don't just believe me tonight that I'm saying the seventh day is the Sabbath. Go ahead. Taste it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. We have a 7-day week that testifies that there is a God in heaven. Whether you came here tonight believing that or not, there is a God in heaven, and I hate to tell you, but he loves you a whole lot. I don't hate to tell you. I love to tell you that there is a God in heaven that loves you with the same love that the Father loves Jesus with, Jesus loves you with. It is crazy. It doesn't make any sense. We discussed the first night that the gospel is foolishness, and I just totally agreed. The fact that God himself would humble himself to a weak little human being and die one of the most brutal deaths that man has ever come up with, that's foolish. He did it for love. That's foolish. But I am so happy to tell you tonight that God is foolish. That God is so enthralled with love, that God is love for you. He doesn't just love you. He is love for you. So will you embrace this love? Will you embrace the creative power of God? Will you taste and see that the Lord is good? Pray with me tonight. God, you've taught us tonight. You've inspired us tonight. You've come through. You are faithful. I'm so glad this series isn't about my faithfulness, Lord, because you know that I am not faithful, but you, God, are faithful. And we just want to turn our eyes upon Jesus right now so that all our stress, all our worries, all our anxieties goes away. We want to turn our eyes upon Jesus so that all things of this earth grow strangely dim in the beautiful light of your glory and your grace. We thank you, Jesus, for creating us. We thank you, Jesus, for creating an entire day to spend with us. And we thank you for loving us enough to humble yourself and to die for us. Amen. Be with us as we continue to explore your truth, as we continue to seek a clear picture of the character of God. May we learn your truth and nothing else. May we invite you into our life right now. God, you are so good. Jesus, we know you want into our hearts, so that you can bring the joys of heaven with you. Help us to accept you as our personal Savior. Jesus, you're so good. You are love. And we just want to praise you tonight. In your precious and your holy name, thank you, Jesus. Amen.